Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Let's start from Hebrews chapter number 11. Okay, I go to Hebrews 11, then we continue. We go to Genesis chapter number 32. Thank you, Father. Are you there now? Hebrews chapter number 11. Verse 21. Hebrews 11, verse 21. Let me start from verse 20 so you can have background to it. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the both of his sons. Both of the sons of Joseph. And worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff, Jacob blessed them and worshipped God, leaning on his staff. Why was he doing that? He was old, of course. But from the day the hollow of his thigh was pulled out, he needed a staff. And I showed you that scripture last week. How many of you remember? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay? So, comfort is perfected when we have the boat, the rod. Somebody say the rod. Say it again, the rod and the staff. See, if you have either, all right, you are not going to enjoy life. And I'm going to show you how. Everything you ever needed, you got instantly. Before you knock the door, as much as it is grace, but there is much more in God. There is an adventure that we experience when we wait. There's an adventure. Okay? There's an adventure that we experience. You see, sometimes we are carried away with the pain that comes with the waiting process. We are not seeing what God is doing. Let me show you a scripture. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Message translation. All right, I'd like us to see something. Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Message translation. If they can put it on my screen. All right, look at it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Can you give me message translation, please? Said, are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take real rest. Okay? Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn how to live freely and lightly. Let me give you a story so you can understand this. I remember, what year was that? 2021, when we were about to erect our structure in Ibadan. I mean, we had prayed, trusted God for help. I think around that time we had spent about 50 million or thereabout. Now, God gave instructions. He said, I want you to do three things as you come into a new phase. All right? Number one, Don't let me even mention it. Okay? Let me just keep quiet. But the second instruction was to every pin the church has, go and sow them to a ministry that is just starting. Every pin. Get into the next phase trusting me for everything. Don't move with the smallest pin. I said, thank you, Lord. It's difficult, but I will do it. Then give me the third instruction. So we did it. Took out everything. Took out the screens. Took out the AC. Took out the sound. Took out everything. Looked for ministries. Shared it. And we're marching onward, Christian soldier. We're coming to a new phase. I think myself and him, it was about to rain. Then I just left the office. I said, let's get into this facility and see how it will look like under the rain. Then right where we were standing, the whole thing crashed on our head. We had to run out. So I got home. I didn't tell my wife. He came to serve me food. Say, how are you today? I said, I'm very fine. Everything's fine. So the following morning, I said to her, I said, church building, it crashed. He said, what are you talking about? Are you whining me again? I used to whine my wife. The church building, it crashed. Said, are you joking? I said, will I joke with that? So I began to ask God. Every instruction you gave me, I did. Why is it that the response to that faithfulness is starting from ground zero? What have we done? And he never said a word. Please learn from this story. So we had to start rebuilding from the scratch. If you know anything about church management, everyone that were giving before got tired. Okay? So people, no money was coming. Then I entered phase two. I was angry. I was angry at people around. I was angry at my friends. And I was saying, look at this person. Not even one person came to greet me and say, we heard that this thing crashed. This one. This. Not even one person. The one that now came, I became angry again. That when we were doing this project, you didn't come. Now that it crashed, you came. Offense has no direction. When somebody has that speech, you'll be offended at anything. Okay? So I was angry. First, I think the most important thing was the neglect from people I expected so much from. Then the Lord began to remind me. So and so and so happened to that person. Did you call? I was busy. Okay. They are busy too. This happened to that person. Did you call? No. I was ministering around. Okay. They are busy ministering too. Then I moved from being angry at what people didn't do to discovering my own filthiness. I just discovered that I was expecting from people what I was not supplying. At the end of the day, definitely we rebuilt faster than we did the first one. Okay? But what I found out was that God was not just giving us an auditorium. He was making a man. Sometimes you cry over things because your priority is not God's priority. His priority is you, not the relationship. Okay? His priority is you, not the car. His priority is you. The fruit of the womb will come in its season. But there is a man that must be set for those things to come. And the process of getting that man requires breaking. Okay? So for those of you who missed the first teaching, I said to you that the whole of your tie represents anything that means confidence to you. Confidence without God. The form of confidence that you have, but this one is not in God. It is from an advantage you have. The kind of degree. First class. You have smashed records everywhere. Okay? Do you know that the guy with one talent has the tendency to succeed more than the one with five? Because our limitation shows us God's ability. Yes. And sometimes we just focus on the limitation, forgetting that we have an inheritance. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So when David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, all right, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare it for me in front of my enemy." This is, he was saying that though I walk through the valley of shadows of death, I will fear no evil. He said, "I have a testimony that there is a dimension when I call, you answer. There is also the staff that I enter through maturing in process. That even when I'm seeking for things, it doesn't happen. There is a staff." Do you understand what I'm saying here? Listen, when you wait, and you wait till the end, you get more than what you are waiting for. As a matter of fact, the proof that you have waited right is that when that thing comes, it is no longer your joy. Something else has been given that is more expensive and better than those things. That's how it works. Amen. So, let me take you to the very beginning, so you can understand. And see, it is the way life is. It is the way life is. What God wants to do is to end up showing us the need for Him. See, once we get those, that as simple as it, once we get it, we are not saying you should not have your advantages, but we are saying you will not make it primary. You have come to that point where you know that thank God for this thing, but this is not the secret. Okay, then somebody said, you went to Harvard, you went to school. Say, it's not about Harvard, it is about God. Okay, the moment we now begin to make our boast in Him, it will work, and it will keep everything that leads to you making that boast in Him is a blessing, and that blessing may involve losses. That's the truth. Let me explain, giving you another illustration. Look at the way God wants you to walk. This is the way God wants your life to work. Simple illustration, you don't have to think too much. Just look at this. When you read the book of Genesis 1, verse 1, you read the Bible say, "In the beginning, God made the heavens." And you see that in your Bible? Now look at it. Please come. Imagine you met God. Let's assume a day before the beginning. Will you still agree that He is all powerful? Listen, He is still God, but there is nothing to His name. No house, no man, no mountains, no hills, no rivers, nothing, no gold, no diamonds. He is still God. And He comes to introduce Himself and said, "I am the God of all flesh." Say, "Who?" Listen well. What you want is to get it, then boast about it. No. What God wants to do is for you to conceive it and boast about it. Let me explain. Abraham waited for Isaac for about 25 years. Okay? And finally he got Isaac. Then God came and said, "Abraham, sacrifice Isaac, your only son, whom you love." What was God trying to say? What you have been waiting for is not Isaac. What you have been waiting for is a dimension in me that the covenant still remains sure, with or without Isaac. So imagine that you are Abraham, and then God spoke so many things about your relationship. And here you met somebody that every word, every prophecy God gave you, everything aligned. It will show His own note, the same thing in His note. Or show you a note, the same thing in a note. Then final person broke up with you. God wants you to have come to a point where, regardless whether you are here or not, what God said is still sure. And listen, sometimes you will need to have losses to wield it well. He doesn't want you to believe what He has said is anchored on anybody. He doesn't want to believe that what He has said will come to pass because somebody is doing you a favor. Do you understand what I'm saying here? He wants to come to the point, whether you are there or not, God will do what He will. He said, "If people fail to praise me, I will raise what? Stones." That's the blessing. The blessing is not physical things. Do you understand what I'm saying? If not, if you lose your car, you will lose your joy. In fact, this is the purpose of giving. It is to show us that our wealth is not in the material things. Look at it now. Abraham and Lot were brothers. They were together. There was struggle between their men. Abraham's men, all right, Abraham told Lot, he said, Lot, see, go and choose anywhere so that there is no strife within us. What did Lot do? The Bible said he looked for the well-watered ground and he chose. The blessing is not in a place, it's on a person. If the person carrying it comes to the desert, desert will become fruitful field. When you understand this, you will have nothing else you define as asset outside God. Nothing qualifies to wield that title outside God. If not, Job losing everything would have been the end of his life. But that was just the beginning. Lift your hand. Say, I am more than what I wear. No, you are not saying it like you know what I'm talking about. Say it again. I'm more than what I wear. I am more than what I drive. Now, when you understand this, nobody can look down on you. All right? Somebody looks at you and say, what do you drive? Under Accord 04 at your level. I am more than what I drive. Okay? It matters what drives me. Yeah, that's it. And if that thing drives you to the wilderness, it will become fruitful field. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Now be seated for a while. Let me show you a few things. Are you learning something this morning? Are you sure? If we understand this, when we come to understand this, see, this is what is going to happen. The devil will now know that, see, this thing you want to use to scare him is not his asset. If you take this one, it won't pull anything. He said, this guy has come to find out that his contact with God is the most important thing. That is when the devil moves beyond fighting your material to fighting your secret place. You need to come to that point where you know that the most important thing about my life is the secret place. And I'm saying that there will be a need for processes. There will be a need for prunings. There will be a need for losses. There will be a need for... They are not sweet, but they are powerful. There is purpose in pain. Some of you now care about holidays, Christmas, birthdays, anniversary, because you grew up from a home where it was not a priority. And as you were growing, you vowed, my family will be different. Are you seeing that what is absent shows you how to be sensitive and how to care? The one who doesn't know what it means to walk in lack may not understand what mercy is. And that's why I said, see, listen to what I'm saying. I'm concerned. Okay? I'm concerned. Sometimes I look around. I look at the body of Christ. I said, if care is not taken, if anybody should have an outburst of scandal, the current messages we have, the person's life is finished. Because, you see, it is lacking grace. Because we are coming in the fullness of our ability to cooperate with God and align. Do you understand what I'm saying? And all the testimony of our life is a testimony of how I was able to align. How I did 200 days fasting and got this anointing. Can I tell you something? Never forget this thing. See, we make boasts in our consecration that God had to pass me through this and pass me through that so I can get... The things he passed you through is actually because of your stubbornness. Period. There's somebody else somewhere who didn't need to go through those lessons and get the same thing. The issue is that you will develop elder brother syndrome when you see the person who didn't pay your price but get what you got. Christ already paid. You need to pay extra because you didn't embrace his own. He paid. So we now make the route we have to go through because of our neglect of God. We now make it a message. Such that people, have you seen people talk about a dimension? And now that they did 365 days fasting for that dimension. Well, you look at your life, I have the same dimension, I didn't go through that. There was nothing in your life that necessitates that route. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people that God will have to give instruction to give and give and give for them to enter into abundance, regardless of how hard they work. But there are people that they don't actually need because money is not their God. So once you, the issue, and this is where we lose people. The issue is that you look at your life, say, me, do you know what I went through? God gave me instructions and sacrifices, and I know to enter into this dimension. You are just sitting there because the instructions God gave is to kill you in an area that you are too alive to. And if this person is already dead to it, there is no need for that instruction. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That instruction is God pulling the whole of your ties out. Do you notice that there was no need for Esau to fight with any angel for him to enter into what he entered? There was no need. You have two people. The father is saying before one that I have made your younger brother your senior. The guy left there as the least. And that is what shows him the need for God. But the one who left there feeling I'm his boss now, he became small. He became small. Some of you are worried. You go for meetings and they call your best friend and they are prophesying how that God will use this person in the future. And every meeting, nobody has ever seen anything about you. And you are worried. Is it that God doesn't have a plan for me? When they see somebody is prophetic and they even hold my hands, they'll just say, God bless you. God bless you. Be blessed. Be blessed. Like, can't you see something about me too? Why won't that happen? Because God needs you to pass through a journey that you will learn him. God does not reveal his most powerful weapon. He hides it. He won't reveal it. Because there is a, that's why it's dangerous. There is a sense of arrogance you come with. Just call somebody out. I say, I see you as the man that God will use to shape the body of Christ in the next 20 years. Oh, you, everybody will clap. Listen to me. The people that should stress you for you to emerge will no longer stress you. They will crown you as king too early. You will not get to the throne. That is what will happen. Let me share a story with you. I heard this story a while back about two boys. Well, I do not know if the story is true, but I don't think it is true. Maybe just an illustration, okay? The both of them went to a baba. I don't know the kind of baba. To go and ask, tell us what the future holds. And he looked at one. He said, you, you'll be the next king. The moment this king is dead, you are the next. That's your destiny. The other one, he called him. Said, say, my own sir, tell me my own future. He said, you'll be a servant of servants. Okay? That's your own destiny. You will serve. You will live in servitude all your life. And the both of them left. The future king left with joy. The future servant left with pain. And they both went to make different decisions. So the future king got a chair and put in front of his house and told people, when you are passing, respect me. I'm the next king. Everybody's passing. Oh, Balola, future king, king tomorrow. Well done, sir. They will greet him. And they will pass. Then the one that was told to be a servant said to himself, I will leave this place. I will go far away into the jungle. I will till the ground. I will plant my crops. I will do everything I should do. I want to see how I will become anybody's servant. And they both chose their life. The one that was said will become king sat down there 5 years, 10 years. The king had not died. The one that said will become a servant was already working and planting and selling to different neighboring villages. And finally, the king died. And when the king died, there was famine. So, people started running up and down. Where can we get food? And somebody said, we heard of a man who is actually part of the villagers here, but he has a big farm far away. Let's beg him for food. Then they made a meeting and said, you know what? Let's beg him to give us food, then become our king. And that's how they did. The Bible said, I've seen a mystery of under the heaven. I've seen kings and princes on their feet and servants on horses. Hands do cross. once one person becomes overconfident. Hands do cross. Be careful of the people you despise. Destinies change. People make decisions and go. God said, go and tell Eli, I have decided that you and your father will be priests before me forever. But now, God can change his mind. See, a time is coming, and I want to tell you this. Don't forget what I'm telling you. You may cry now, you may groan, because you feel things should have been better. But let me tell you something. A time is coming that things will change, and you will wish your troubles were more. Because you will look back and see how the problems shaped you. You will just wish in your other. I just wish I experienced this one too. Because you will meet people in it and find out you don't have a message for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't mourn it. Don't mourn it. It is God shaping us. Say, God is shaping us. Say it again. God is making us. Say, God is shaping me. He's making me. He's remolding my life. He's structuring me for the future. In the name of Jesus. Woo. You know, growing up, I spend more time crying than I talk to people. Oh, yes. I would just lock my door and weep and weep. And I know what depression is firsthand. Firsthand. One time I started going to parties. On Sunday, after service, I would not remove my tie. I would go to a party like that. They knew I was not part of them. Then one time I went for a party, so I also doubled as the my friend's party. So I was there. I don't know whether I was the DJ at this party or something. I was a DJ before, all right? So yeah, DJ son. I don't know how I got there, but I think I got there. And there was this thing they call devil's basket. The thing they write many. We don't know who used to sit down to write those things. They will write many things, funny stuffs. So people will pick. So they ask a girl to pick one. Then the girl picked. I'm a fine girl like that. So what was inside was that the girl will dance with somebody without her legs touching the ground and then kiss the person. And then that's the devil's basket instruction. The girl looked around, and said, I pick you, TDG. Hey, me. I'm not that deep. It's problem that brought me here. Okay? When I started begging, they just found out that, see, this guy is not part of us. Let's just allow him go. You know, you find people in situations, but you don't know that that's not who they are. I want to teach you two things. All right? I'll show you a few scriptures. Is that okay? Number one, be careful of the bargains you make when your bones are broken. I'm going to tell you what I mean. Be careful of the bargains you make when your bones are broken. That is, when you have been exposed to the other part of life that is not so pleasant. One of the things, listen to what I want to tell you. One of the things that is likely going to happen is that you will make bargains based on the present, not based on the future. So let me explain. I said something when I started the series Love and Vows, that never ask anybody out until you know who you are. Never strike a deal until you know who you are. Because eventually, when you begin to find out who you are, you will discover that you have settled for less. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me show you now. The book of Genesis. Listen to my story. When Joseph was in the prison, some two boys were with him. He gave them words. You will come out, you will be killed, right?
The one that said, will come. Joseph said, when you get there, please tell the king about me. The fellow that they were just bringing out of pity. If he brings Joseph out, what is the highest position they can put Joseph? Junior butler. Meanwhile, the intention of God is that he's coming out, and the same day, he will be the prime minister. What was his negotiation? Junior butler. Listen to what I'm saying. When favor is not working, God is not trying to bring you out through favor. Favor has limitation. He wants to bring you out as a needed vessel, competence. There are times that you say, God, why am I so disfavored? Because the person you are expecting favor for cannot put you above himself. And the way God wants to bring you out is to bring you to a place higher. So when favor looks like it is expired, then God brings you out, and then, like, this is not favor. They need you. When they brought Joseph out, it was not favor. They will not survive without him. Do you understand what I'm saying? What was his bargain? Anyhow. Some of you are bargaining. Anyhow. Let me just leave Nigeria. Even if Ghana. Meanwhile, in another 3 years, this same man is coming. The president is sending a car, go and pick him. What is his bargain? Even if not by boat, because you can't see well. Open your eyes and see. You don't know who you are. That's the first thing. Be careful of the deals you strike. Just marry me and let me live this singleness. If only you know who you are. Some people have married people they ought to mentor. Because they don't know who they are. I'm talking about even women. These guys should come and apply in your school of knowledge to learn. But you just feel anyone that has beards is a man. Apologies. I have beards, and goats have beards too. It's the truth. And there are guys too who subscribe to a girl based on physical asset, only for her not to be able to carry the weight of his destiny. Figure eight, everything, but blank. Because he doesn't know what the future will hold. So he went for the body, not the sense. And by the time the sense is now needed, it's not there. Be careful of the deals. Tell you, be careful of your bargain. Are you learning something? Or should I stop? I can round up even now. The second counsel I want to give you about this. Now, this is a very serious one. All right, I've trusted God for wisdom to put it right. Let me give you an illustration. When you learn this thing, you will survive any hostile environment. Particularly those of you that people have termed bad. You know, there are some of you that people believe you are bad. Meanwhile, you are the best. But you don't listen. Only God knows the heart. So if you wait for men to know your heart, you would have lost out in so many places. Then God will help you recover over time. But you'll have suffered. Okay? So let me explain. One time I got to a place. And I found out that there was this girl that practically everybody hated her. And the more I tried to know the girl, she was behaving practically like a witch. So I'm like, transition. People are passing after service, just be looking. Good afternoon. What is your problem? So I just say, well, day your day. Let me day my day. Just your stuff. All right. But over time, as she began to loosen up, I sat down with her and I found out that if only the people here knows this girl. What was her problem? She was angry about certain things, but she did not know how to express her anger towards the thing. She allowed the thing make her vent towards everything. Let me tell you something. I will explain what I'm saying. In families, there are people like that. They look like the witch in the family. But they are the ones that, the reason they are angry is because they are the ones with the wisdom to know how to put things in place. And they know if we say, they will not agree. But they don't know how to channel that thing in a way that the wisdom will be needed. In the same light, there are people that looks like, on social media, they look like they hate Christians. They hate church. They don't like church. They don't hate church. They are the ones that know what church should do right. They have experienced both thieves and greedy people. They are pained about those situations, but they have not learned the wisdom to channel your grievance in a focused direction where you will deal with the issue and see stand out. If you don't know how to do that, you will carry the wisdom. Nobody will beg for it. People will need it. You will be good. It will take those who are close to you to know that you are good, and you will miss privileges in life. You must understand that. Carry that same thing. Channel it to a body of wisdom, not emotions. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In your office place, in your family, in your this. See, listen, you said, no matter what you do, I will not be offended at the establishment. I know by the time I put this wisdom down, people like you will be kicked out. That is what is happening in Nigeria. The youth looks like they are. See, listen. During the elections, I observed people were angry. I don't want to mention any party. All these people, insulting fathers in the body of Christ. I sat down. I studied the thing. I said, the reason why these guys are fighting is because there is something about the church that reminds them about politics. There is a way we look like identical twins. If we don't deal with that, the church will lose the next generation. These people may not know how to channel. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a way to channel that grievance. The way to do it is to come back to church. That's why, with all the things they are saying, God will not kill them. Because God is not like that. God is loyal to his move more than he's loyal to a person. It doesn't matter how much he loves a person. When the person begins to hinder his move, he will go to another generation that looks radical, but we get it done. And I will tell you something. The small light you see burning here, it is God redefining Christianity in Nigeria.
Yes, sir.
It will spread around. I'm telling you. By the time this is done, the people will struggle to come out and boast as if they own the anointing. There is a generation we must not neglect. They are broken. They are in pain. They don't know how to communicate it. We must give them a language. You must understand that. Don't just sit down and say, look at you. You just, see, listen to what I'm saying. People go online and bash me. While I went there, he said, God didn't call you. Fun fact, you call yourself. I said, oh boy, forget. Tomorrow, me and you will sit down. We sit down. You will say, Apostle, you know I said, Baba, forget that. What is the next thing you are doing in this sector? That anger, I need it, but we will refine it. Anger is an essential commodity. It's the truth. I'm trusting God for army of gays that will accept that life of Christ. They are the ones that will have, they know the psychology of what it means to be there. They know what to tell those who are there to bring them out. Do you know, are you following what I'm saying? Do you know what will get a man to a point where he's looking at another man's bum and he's saying, oh boy, I like you. Ah, you don't know. When you get there and cut them ties and say, you are never going to come out. You are a bad person. You. What you are saying is that we will never have your kind change. Because this one hearing the word is to be the army that will go back and bring them back home. Do you understand what I'm saying? Two very powerful instructions. We have work to do. I've sat down in joints where they are smoking. I know the psychology. Nobody speaks faith like the person at the bus stop. The faith you are trying to learn, they have it. You that you sit down, why is my life like this? Why is my life like this? Go and meet the Agbero in Lagos. He will tell you, Mumokema Adide, I know I will rise. Do you know? That is why. What would have been the prayer of the church if it was your day? That when they were killing Stephen, the great evangelist, it was Paul who stood there. Say, bring your clothes, kill him, stone the head, don't miss that head. Say, God, avenge us. Let this guy not say that of the day. This is it. Meanwhile, as Stephen was dying, God was taking what was on him and placing on the one who is there. The enemy of the church is not always the enemy of God. If you know how that God is not interested in losing anybody, including the grand commander of Boko Haram. God is looking for every possible way to bring them back. He wants to make a statement. If he's looking for those kind, how much more you? How do you sit down and say, God has neglected me? I don't think I can become this. Because look at, I've been battling with this addiction. Wake up, my friend, and get back to the race. Get back to the race. I never thought in my life that I would marry two times and married and there's divorce. Get back to the race, my friend. Your bone is broken. You can't make boast about that. All you are left with is now the grace of God. That bone is broken. When people are talking and they are saying, my home is this, you can no longer join the league of those who are boasting again. That's what it means. You don't have that boast. Maybe somebody is even here that you didn't finish school. You listen to what I'm saying. You pulled out. People even think that you are from that school. They didn't know you didn't finish. You will carry it every time. That is the bone. See, while the rest are talking about those things, I'm not saying we should drop out of school, but what has happened. You can go back and study later, but this is what is happening. You don't have those physical things now to say, this is my confidence. All you have is to find God. When life brings to a point where the only route left is God, you have been blessed. There is nothing you can do against us but for us. If you hide us, we'll bring out an army of the hidden. If you bury us, we'll bring out an army of the buried. If you break us, we'll bring out the army of the broken. There's nothing. Send us anywhere and say we have come to put you there. You will regret it because we are disruptive. And some of you don't know who you are yet. Because you've always found yourself in an environment that has wrongly labeled you. And is not equipped to help you bring out what you have. Fear has silenced you. It has changed your opinion about yourself. The things you used to believe, now you look at your life. And you have settled for one out of three. The easiest one. The one you feel you can do now. You are still going to do much more. You are wearing the garment of many colors. You won't cancel some colors. In years to come, they'll be talking about this same you living in one room. They can't stop talking. Lift your hand. Say, I'm more than this.
I am more than this.
Say it again loud and clear.
I am more than this.
Say it again louder and clearer.
I am more than this.
Say it again louder and clearer. This is not motivational speaking. When will you get it? Ezekiel 37 verse 12. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. Ezekiel 37 verse 12. Look at it. Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you. Meaning that you will no longer be buried. Your gifts, your talent, your potentials hidden. That thing that happened was not supposed to end what was in progress. It was supposed to enhance it and bring it to another level. But you allow it to end it. Go back to the instructions God gave you before that thing happened. Go back to it. You believe you have a ministry to children until you start waiting on God for the fruit of the womb. But now you no longer believe it. Go back to that instruction. He's still saying it. Let me show you a scripture. And I want us to understand this in context. So I want to show you a case study today, and that's the person of David. Let me give you a background. At 12, they suddenly came to call him from the field that the prophet over the nation was in their house waiting for him. And when he got there, oil was poured on him in the midst of his brethren.
at 17, he went to deliver food to his brothers. 5 years after, he already had a track. In between those 5 years, he had killed a lion, he had killed a bear. Okay? Because those things come chasing after the oil, not your person. Mm-hmm. And then he heard somebody making noise. Making noise. Shouting against Israel. He said, who is this guy? He said, then he asked, what will be done for whoever killed this guy? Are you seeing where he's coming from? They said, this you married daughter of the guy. Ah, I like her. All right. No more tax for the family. He said, okay. He went to meet the king. All right. Because he had already been playing. He was a palace boy. He had been playing in the palace. He went to meet Saul. He said, I am able to go and kill this guy. I will kill him. King said, this guy has been fighting from the day of his youth. You are a child. He said, no. Saul looked at him. Okay. He said, you know what? Take my hammer. Wear it and go and fight the guy. He wore it. It was too big for him. He pulled it off. Some of you didn't pull the armor off. They stripped it off you. Okay? You know what that means. And then he went there. He went with 5 smooth stones with a sling. And he went there. He told Goliath. He said, you come against me with arrow and spear. He said, but I come against the name of the Lord of Israel's army, whom you have defiled. Today I will cut your head from your neck. The Bible said, Goliath began to curse him in the name of his God. All right? David threw the stone, sank into his head. What is that? That is grace. It was not David who killed Goliath. He was assisted. People began to sing. I want to show you David. People began to sing. Saul has killed his thousands. David is 10,000. And David was dancing. He didn't stop them. He didn't stop them. He didn't run away. He looks like he was enjoying it. Saul looked at him. This guy is going to take this kingdom from my hand. And from that day, the Bible says Saul set his eyes on him to kill him. He moved from being anointed before his brothers to killing lion and bear, to killing Goliath, giving them the biggest victory, to becoming a fugitive. For another 13 years, he was running and running, and every bit of opportunity Saul had, he wanted to kill him. Now let's pick a few things. While David was running, listen. Life is not about you alone. Your purpose is deeper than you. If we can come to that, you will value your pain and just understand that there are people who will not emerge until you come to their level to bring them out. There were people who, the Bible said, were discontented, were in distress, were in pain. It was important for David to become a similitude for the destiny of those ones to speak. The people who fight side by side with you, you will have to go to where they are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't know your team yet. They will be loyal to you because they saw how God picked you up. When you emerge before your team assembles, all right, listen. You may not even know those who are coming for the good things they are seeing. Listen, success can be very lonely. I can't say it's lonely at the top. I've already done a teaching to that. That is not lonely at the top, is your character that is bad. And the reason why your character is bad is because you didn't come from scratch with those you should work with at the top. Let me tell you a story. One of the most impactful ministry in recent time, Billy Graham ministry. Those who functioned with him in his 90s were those that they were together in their 20s. You can actually function with people that are non-fall-off. A few will, but you can actually hold them. Never be afraid of falling off or that people will fall off from. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Very, very important. All right? So look at this. There were people who were in distress, who were discontented, who were in lack. They will not become anything. Except that God will say, David, it is not the throne first. There are people you must pick. And he went after them. All right? And when those men saw him, so you wonder, I'm in distress. See, if you know my problem, you will not be talking to me. And you wonder where you get to places with your problem. People who have problems still want to talk to you. It is your anointing that is calling them. You are wondering, see, me that you are confiding in, if you know what I'm battling with. See, you are battling with it does not change the fact that you still carry the grace to bring them out. They know. You are the one who doesn't know. They know. If you talk too much, they are wondering, what is he saying? Explain from today to tomorrow, you will explain tire. They know that you have what it takes. See, I'm still trekking. You are riding Jeep. Listen, it's not about that. We know what you carry. Never try to explain to those kind of people
Because God has sent you to them and sent them to come after you. Listen, you will recognize your captain when you meet them. They have your message. They have your word. Okay? And the Bible said men who were in distress came to David in a cave called Adullam. When you come, that cave was the kind of place where you see seven boys about to sleep at night. And they'll say, what will we eat tonight? Say, I have no money. You 10K, they say no. You 1K, they know 500. I say, no, but I have no money. But it does not change the fact that it is making in progress. Do you understand what I'm saying? When the Bible began to list the mighty men of David, you will be amazed. Is this the same David? But listen, that's not where I'm going. Why was it important for David to go through that route? It was because even David did not know himself. Oh, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Yes. If he had moved from the anointing to the throne, it would be worse than Saul. Listen, there are people you dislike what they have done, and if care is not taken, you even dislike them. But you already have all the tendencies to be worse than them, unless God passes you through process. Some people hate the dysfunctionality in their homes, and they forget that they already raised another dysfunctional family. And now they are even more skillful. The things their dad was not confident to do, they can do it. Hating a problem is not enough. You must be equipped not to repeat it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You must be equipped. Listen now, Saul did many bad things. He did, in fact, as a matter of fact, Saul did not do as many bad things as David. The problem Saul had was that he was not of a contrite heart. See, God is not intimidated by your problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give you two scenarios. When Saul went ahead of Samuel to sacrifice, and Samuel began to rebuke Saul, he said, if you have waited today, the kingdom would have been established over you for life. Do you know the meaning of that statement? You didn't know it. You don't know it. Do you know what that means? He said, if you had waited, the kingdom would have been established for life. Meaning that David, that God was saying, there will have been no need for David. I can still find a way to do everything through Saul. That was what God was saying. It would not have been Jesus, thou son of David. It would have been Jesus, thou son of Saul. Saul, the same Saul. God was finding every way to use him. But he wasn't seeing it. And when Samuel rebuked him, you know what he said? He said, at least go and sacrifice with me. Just go. Just let's keep appearance. God said, he's not the kind of man. Compared to David, when he killed Uriah, and Nathan came, and he said, you are the man. What did David do? He tore his garment openly before his men, and said, I've seen. That is the man. It is not perfection. It is contriteness of heart. That's why we read that scripture. Said, flawless performance is nothing to you. Psalms 4 verse 17. He said, I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. God is not looking for your flawlessness. Can you take his correction? Can you amend? He's not trying to make you perfect. No. Okay, but I'm going somewhere. Please sit down. How many of you have trekked before in Hudson, under Hudson? You've trekked this kind of Abuja funny sun that will start shining by 9 o'clock. Hudson, trek. Ah, I have trekked in this life. So I've been called Walkerman. And I remember one particular time I was trekking to the bank, and I trekked so much my skin tone changed by the time I got to the bank. You know, there is someone who will make you darker. And when I got to the bank, you know, as you open that door and the AC just blows on you, in another 30 seconds, you forget the fact that you are trekking. What you call problem now, one wind from God, you will not remember you went through it. Listen, when that time comes that you can no longer remember, you have the tendency of doing things you didn't know you can do. Can you still remember where God picked you from? See, listen, problems are painful, but their memory is volatile. You try to. I was asking my wife, I said, when we go to the hospital, women are trying to deliver, all right? Nurses, midwives, women, they are harsh on them. Have they forgotten that day too? They gave birth. Don't they know how it feels? My wife looked at me and said, because they are forgotten. Have you seen a woman who is in the labor room and crying, ah, please, doctor, say push. Say, husband, I will not do it again. Don't even come near me. Few weeks after, baby, what is happening? She has forgotten. The light afflictions. The Bible called them light affliction. It said they are not worthy to be compared to the glory. It is light. When you are in it, it looks heavy. It is light. See, the afflictions are very light. I'm going somewhere. Are you with me? Are you still getting blessed? Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Let me start reading from verse 2. Then I will jump again and show you something. He said, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart. Meaning that sometimes we can't know what is in a man's heart until the man is in distress. Yes. All right. So he said, to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandment or no. All right. Go to verse 3 now. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. What is the Bible saying here? The Bible is saying that the length of wilderness, listen to this. 40 years was not compulsory. It was 40 years because that was as long as it took you to know that man does not live by bread alone. What is the essence now? That he might make you... So it means that if it occurred to you from day one that man does not live by bread alone, wilderness over. What we do is that people now spend 40 years out of their dullness to learn and make it a course and a curriculum for the next generation. That if you don't do 40 years, you didn't emerge well. Do you understand that? When the length of wilderness is extended, it's not because God is like that. It's because you are like that. What is the lesson God wants to learn in this season? Once you get it, class over. That is it. Okay? Now, that same Deuteronomy 8. Let's continue. Let me show you a part of that scripture. Let's go to verse 10. Are you there now? Look at it. He said, and when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord your God. All right? For the good land which he has given you. God is bringing somebody to a good land. Now look at verse 11, quickly. He said, beware. This is the issue. He said, beware that thou forgets not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statute which I commanded this day. Verse 12 now. Look at it. He said, lest when thou hast eaten and hast full and have built godly houses and dwell therein. 13. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and gold is multiplied and thou hast all that you have is multiplied. 14 now. He said, then thy heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Meaning that the moment the whole problem is over, you can forget God on time. When you are going through, he said, God, I can never forget you. He's saying, I know from experience. This same thing I'm doing, I've done it in life of millions of people. When they get it, they forget me. Let me give you the illustration. Women, guys, a guy is pursuing a girl. If care is not taken, the best moment of that contact will be when the guy is pursuing the girl. Okay? When a guy has interest in the girl, all of a sudden, that's when he starts texting. That's when he starts messaging. That's when he starts saying, what did you eat? Where are you going? How was work today? Can I see your face? And all those things. Why? He's pursuing. The same guy gets the same girl, and she's the one saying, you have not even called me. I'm busy with work. Because he forgot that the way to keep this kind is to keep pursuing. You have to initiate a process. See, let me tell you something. God is like that. The way we are going to church, Father, give me. He will give you. But when he does, he's not the one who is now pursuing you and say, son, I've not seen you in my house. I've not seen you do this. You don't even keep your morning devotion again. You don't even do this again. When you have eaten and you are full, when you have built your good houses, he said, beware that you don't forget the Lord your God. That is why, when you are going through those things, see, remember, The ones you say as cursed that will not go away, they are cursed that will prevent this scripture from coming to pass. This thing is not going away so that you will not be able to forget the Lord your God who has brought you out of Egypt. He doesn't want you to forget. Did David forget? Yes. We didn't know he could do what he did. A man that suffered like that to become king, that knew how Saul used his position to oppress him. A man who was angry at oppression. A man who would have said, I will never oppress anybody. The same man stood on top of his house, looked around. It was not even about standing. But the Bible said it was at the time that kings go to battle. Be careful when you grow to the point that you can delegate to now become idol. The purpose of delegation is to be effective. Once you begin to delegate and you are now idol, you will fall to this trap. It was what happened when God has blessed you with men. You understand what I mean? People are ready to do everything for you. You must now give yourself to prayer and to the ministry of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so when the kings were going to battle, why? Because these are battles that have to do with a lot of things. With land, with territories. Alright, the Bible said he stood. Why? David already has mighty men, Abishai, all of them. In fact, when Saul was pursuing him, they had to call, they said, David, you don't go to war with us again. They were ready to die for him. They said, lest the light of Israel is put out, don't go to war with us again. That was the same man that now stood there. And he saw a fine girl laughing. I don't have time. I would have loved to show you. This girl and her husband just married 3 months before. Okay? Just 3 months before this time. Ideally, Uriah ought to stay with his wife for 1 full year. That was the law. Be careful of overzealousness. You can't help God. If you die today, that thing you are trying to do overzealously, somebody else will do it. Uriah would not have died if he had just kept his zeal. See, zeal is powerful, but you need wisdom. And just he had just married 3 months before. Bathsheba, the girl Baffin, was actually the granddaughter of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was actually David's chief advisor. He was an older colleague, but David called him friend. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. So when David saw the girl, he said, go and call her for me. And they called her. Say, my lord, king, I'm Bathsheba, I'm the wife of one of your servants, Uriah, who has gone to war. Were you not the one that got married 3 months ago? We're the one. What should a king do? My God. This guy, go and call him now. Come and stay with your wife. No. He said, I want her. And he took her, used his power, and he slept with her. Okay? And when she got pregnant, he still had more capacity. Are you following what I'm saying? I would have loved to show you medically that he didn't sleep with her once. There's actually a medical proof. Because she had just finished her flow. You know how to calculate calendar. Okay, let me leave you. Let me just stop. It was not a one-time thing. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody's wife. So he said, go and call Uriah. They went to call him. He said, Uriah, what have you been doing? Your wife is there. Go into your wife. He gave him meat, gave him everything. The guy did not go. They called him and said, Uriah didn't go anywhere. He called the guy. The Bible said he got him drunk. He got the guy so drunk. In his drunken state, he slept at the gate. He said, the ark of covenant is in the field. Joab, my master, is in the tent. How will I go in to my wife? But David, a man after God's heart, has gone after somebody else's wife. The owner of the wife is saying, how will I do this? The one that God said is my after my heart. It should have occurred to David, God selecting you, you are not the best. If it was based on nobility, this guy was better. Do you understand what I'm saying there? David said, I know what to do. You are a loyal man. We'll kill you with that loyalty. And he wrote the guy's death note. And he gave it to that same guy. The man after God's heart didn't think twice. He said, give Joab. Joab knows what to do. And he gave Joab. Be careful. Listen to what I'm saying.
Be careful of rebels you will raise through your own rebellion. Because when Absalom began to pursue after David, David said, when you catch this young man, don't kill him. When he's hand between two trees, it was Joab who saw him. He speared him.
Because he too was holding the secret of David. So David had to tell Solomon, don't let this guy's head go to the grave in peace. He knows too much. He can destroy you. Okay? So David did all that. They went there and they put, the Bible, listen to what happened. The Bible said they put Uriah where the battle is fierce, where the valiant men are. And the instruction David gave was that let the mighty men withdraw from him. Meaning that even in that same place, he would have survived with mighty men. Your mighty men will not withdraw.
Amen.
You didn't say the amen loud and clear.
Amen.
The mighty men, your wife. When she now said, anything you want to do, go and do with your life. Ha! You will not survive it. Your mighty men will not withdraw.
Amen.
And they killed Uriah. And David said, Bathsheba, you can move in now. And David moved on like no man's business. He continued. He continued till months before God now tell Nathan, I have this guy just kept on singing psalms and singing songs. He has not come back to say, forgive me. Where is he getting this information from? He just moved on. And said, go and reach out to him. And Nathan came. And he said, there's a story I want to tell you. There's a man in Israel who has several sheep. And he has a neighbor that has just one. And when he got when a visitor came to him, he took one of his neighbor and killed for that visitor. What do you think should be done to such a man? David said, he should restore back sevenfold. This, that. He should die. You know how that you pass judgment when you don't know it's about you? And Nathan said, David, you are that man. When Saul, your master, died, the Lord said, did I not give you all his wife? If you wanted more, would I not have given to you? But you went to your neighbor's house, Uriah, and you took the wife, and you killed him. Now this. What did David? He tore his garment. That scar never left him. Go and read the book of Matthew. When they were listing the names of sons, when they got to Solomon, it says Solomon, the daughter, the son of Bathsheba that she bore to Jacob, the wife of Uriah, whom he slew. There are stories that God will not take away from the memories of men, so that you can always remember that I should not mess up again. So when you look at David, if you look at this possibility now, meanwhile, all the running up and down was God trying to rescue him from these tendencies. So imagine if David was crowned the same way they crowned Saul. How many people would he have killed? See, this is what I'm trying to teach you. Be careful how you cut down to sizes those who have gone ahead who didn't do it well. Your ability to know the problem is not the same thing as knowing the solution. You can be worse than the chaos they created. You can. Let me share a story with you. I begin to draw the curtain. One time, at certain season of my life, we're somewhere. I don't want to over-describe. It was more, okay, let me just say, it was a family house. NYC family house. When we got there, I observed the settings. I knew the things to avoid and how to manage myself. When it was time for leadership selection, they called us and said, what are the things you guys would like to change in this house if you have the opportunity? I mentioned about five. Then they should work on this, they should work on that, they should work on this, they should work on that. Okay, thank you so much, Pastor, for calling our attention to that. People mentioned, work on this, this is not nice, this is not kind. Listen to what I'm saying. When that set left, and it was time for my badge, they fought themselves so much so that 75% of people packed out of family house.
At some point, they even broke bottle. These same people identified that their predecessors were not perfect, only for them to leave a worse template. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God breaks you, you move from knowing people's problem and defect to seeing yours. And say, God, now I know I am not better. When that happens, you become less judgmental. Become less judgmental. You now carry the grace it takes to help and the grace to restore. All the life of David, he will never forget that event. It was a stigma. You know, some people used to wonder, me too, I've thought about it. Imagine David entering heaven. Oh, David, David, David! And Uriah just passed. If he has been jumping, King David is here. Hello, Uriah. I know, don't be angry. Listen. When that which you have always wished to boast about is gone, all you have now is the opportunity to boast in Him. And that's the only boasting that is right. Any other thing is pride. Before I continue and tie this up, I want you to look at your life. I'm not trying to... look at your life. Look at the areas that your bones have been broken. The areas... You know yourself. And say, Father, I choose to thank you. I want to give you a minute to do that. A minute. You look at yourself. Look at the stories about you that no one will believe if they will know. They won't believe it. Let me give you a minute. The depths, the mess that is on ground, the things that won't go away, the memories, the stuffs, they are not pointing to your wretchedness. They are pointing to a perfect Savior. They are showing you that now you need Him. When you look at your life, the things you wish you could boast about. Maybe somebody's Olu of your tie that is pulled out is that you lost your virginity and you wish you could brag, married as a virgin. Now you can't brag. But you can help a generation coming behind and just say, I found grace. I found grace. I found help. I found help. 30 more seconds. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. Please pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying. Please be seated. Let me show you a scripture. I'm already bringing the service to a close.
Second Samuel chapter number 16. Look at this version of David after he was broken. I want you to learn something from this story. A man who could kill a man wouldn't trigger him. Okay? Look at the same man. Let's look at the way he's responding to life now. 2 Samuel 16 from verse 5. And when King David, 2 Samuel 16 from verse 5, came to bower him, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. That is, as David was coming, he was cursing David. Six now. And he cast stones at David. And at all the servants of David. David was moving with his mighty men. Who could kill you with one javelin? He was stoning them. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord had returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. So this time, David was running from his Saul, from his son. He said, we know that what you did to Saul's house, it will backfire. Is that not it? You don't conclude about a man. In whose stead you reign, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hands of Absalom, your son. And behold, thou art taken in your mischief, because you are a bloody man. Then said Abishai of the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Those guys, they know they just all they need is go. They will not need to throw the javelin twice. When he said dead dog, you know what he was saying? They will get him. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Look at it. And now look at verse 9 now. Am I correct? Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse. Because the Lord said unto him, curse David. Who shall then said, wherefore have you done so? I will explain what that means. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, my son, which came forth from my bowels, seek my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord has bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction. That the Lord will require me good for this cursing. What David was saying is that, see, they were saying, this guy is cursing. Let's kill him. Let's waste him. David is saying, see, I know what is happening. When you are going through the tunnel, people insult you. Don't reply them. He said, maybe God will look at this insult and restore me again. David before the king, the man in his majesty, will tell him, kill him at once. But now he knows what it means to flee the throne. He knows what it means to run from his son. He knows that this was the consequence of his mistake. Because the verdict came that sword will not leave your house. He said, see, there is a way I would have responded before. I can't do that again. Okay? So let them do it. You know what that happened? He was seeing. It's something I can do too. I have seen my own wretchedness. Allow him. When people who are allowed, judgmental, now become merciful and kind, something has been broken. That is where life flows from. That is when they can now supply. Listen to what I'm saying. It was from that brokenness. Go and read. All right? Time is not on my side. I would have shown you all the scriptures that has to do with messianic prophecy. It was after that broken bone experience that David began to wield them. He couldn't see them. The way Isaiah said that the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The loss, the person that died, that you can't forget, the painful experience, that you cried and cried, God did not rescue the person. And now you are angry and offended. If there is a God on that throne, why did this person have to die? Let me share a story with you. I lost my mentor. Year 2000 and was it 17 now? That's 6 years ago. He had cancer. I left ministry let people in charge of the ministry to go stay with him and to take care of him. And I watched the man in his most humble state. I saw things. The physiotherapist will come to help him after the surgery and will shed tears. We have to run out. We couldn't cope. And I watched the same man will pick his Bible and read. And we cried. We fasted. We prayed. God, heal him. Restore him. I remember the time I was leaving for a while to return back again, and I heard the voice. Look at him very well. Are you sure this is not the last time you'll be seeing him? And I looked at him sitting on the chair sleeping, and I said, God, just preserve him. I couldn't imagine any future without him in that future. And one day I went to minister in Lagos. I just noticed when I woke up, I was angry. Just don't want to talk to anybody that wants to talk to me. When I got to Lagos, somebody called me. Say, Pastor Femi, where are you? I said, I'm in Lagos. Say, are you sitting or standing? I said, I'm standing. Say, find somewhere to sit down. I sat down. I said, what's the issue? No, I didn't sit down. I said, I'm seated. Tell me what you want to tell me. He said, we are sorry we lost Susan so person this morning. My phone fell. Listen to what I'm telling you. For 3 months, every night, I will pick my phone and be messaging the number on WhatsApp. 3 months. Please, sir, respond. You can't go like this. I know you are somewhere around. One time I saw that I'm already having a problem. I went to call my friend. I said, see, this is the challenge. This is what is happening. This. He said, cry out for help. This is no longer normal. There are losses you have that nobody on earth can explain to you why this was important. Why should good people die? Listen to what I'm saying. There are things you will not find answer to till you see God face to face. We will carry that grief and that pain for the rest of our lives, and it will keep showing us that there is someone up there who knows more than what we know. It is not every question we will have answer to, because some things are just deeper than us. And sometimes if you have the opportunity to meet the person will tell you, his time came. There's nothing you are going to do about it. And sometimes your life really began after these losses, because you never thought you could do life without them. And now they are gone. Now you have to do life. And you found out that God will never run out of help. Don't mourn it. Appreciate the grace that came after they left. Don't mourn it. You will not always have answers. I have questions I don't have answers to. People ask me, opposed to this, I said, I will try and answer. But I am not God. And I'm not being sent to launder his image. The ones I know I can answer. The ones I can't answer, can't answer. You wonder why someone who has done good, help people, done so many good things, and suddenly they are no more. You are wondering, you carry that broken bones for the rest of your life. And you lean on the staff. Experience. I watch a father in the body of Christ lose his son. And I watch him preaching. And I'm saying, what is this? I watched Dagger what means lose his son, a medical doctor in the US. And I saw him still preaching that same day. And they will carry that pain. And people will come and insult on social media. If you are truly good pastors and you are powerful, why would you lose your sons? And they too will not have any answer. And they will carry that thing. It will keep showing them their humility. Listen to what I'm saying. If you are a man of God and nobody can point at you, you have become God of men. God is going to allow you to make them insult you regardless of your anointing, so you will know that is God. Let me ask you a question. How do you define excellence in life? Let me give you this illustration. That you are a minister who is running a ministry, and young people are coming to learn from you, and everything is seamless. And they say, we know how to do it. Or there is a young minister there who is crying and say, God, when we are running service, generator is going off, this sound, and your sound that has been perfect before, for no just cause, everything went off. And God has used that weakness to speak to that person. That can you see that is also there?
Look how he handles it. I'm saying that some things you call problem is God still doing his job through your life. And it may not make sense. It may not make sense. I remember a season in my life. God said, give out your car to the work of the church. Give out the car. I was on bike. Then the devil came. Say, remember you came to this city on bike? I said, yes. Said, now you are living. You are on bike. I said, yes. You have failed. Look at your life. You know the family you are coming from? People don't really rise. There's no difference. What was he trying to do? He was trying to make me speak like Elijah. What am I better than my forefathers? Do you understand what I'm saying here? And I remember the scripture. The life of a man does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. There is much more to me than this. We carry that hollow. And we depend on God for the rest of our days. Wrap up with this scripture I started with. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. See, don't forget what I told you. When things happen that you can't explain, don't leave God. You may seek answers. Don't lash on God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hebrews chapter number 11. Verse what now? Verse 20. Let's start from verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the both of his son, the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the staff. He was leaning on that which he learned through maturity. Then he could worship from there. Are you following what I'm saying here? Leaning on that which you learned through growth, you could worship from there. Now, worship for you is no longer just about dancing and singing songs. There are scars now. And you are seeing it. And remember, these are things God has saved me for. Why was he leaning on the staff? Because the hollow of his thigh has been pulled out. When he began to lean on that which he depends on, true lesson from God, blessings can flow. Now he could connect to the next generation. And people hear my teachings, say, who is this man? The experience that bettered this almost took my life. I wanted to die. Not saying I thought about suicide once. I thought about suicide every day. Every day. I will sit down and see hands walking on the wall and I'll break down in tears again. Look how you gave hands, family. You left me in this cold world. What nonsense. Thinking about it every day. That a generation will now be rescued. Through your pains. That has turned to wisdom. Don't mourn it. There is life flowing from that death. Don't mourn it. In the valley of dry bones, they were bones. But before God, they were an army. Get up on your feet as mighty soldiers. Lift your hands to God. Now, we're going to worship differently today. We'll thank him for the pain that showed us the need for healing. We'll thank him for the processes, the things we can't explain that shows us the need for him. And you are going to worship differently, leaning on the staff. That which I came to learn, that which I came to understand. I mean that there were things you have complained about in time past, but now you are saying, thank God, and now I understand better. Can I give you a moment? Can I give you a moment to don't wait for a song. Don't wait for a song. Just look at your own life and pour out worship. And pour out worship. Pour out worship. Just bless him. You see, in this church, you don't have to play church. You may want to sit on the floor. You may want to lie down on the floor. Forget about Sunday dress. Just anything that allows you to take that posture. That, yes, this is the right posture in your heart. Take the posture now. You may even want to sit down on your chair. Take the posture. And just thank him for the pain I did not understand.
for the pain that looked like the end of my life, for the waiting process that looked like you have left. Oh, how that I've come to learn your ways now. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're not a man, Lord. You're not a man. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut.
You're not a man, Lord.
You're not a man.
You're not a man, Lord. You're the God of everything. No one like you.
No one like you.
No one like you.
In the midst of that tunnel, in the midst of that situation, I acknowledge that there is still none like you. And I give you worship in the midst of my tunnel, in the midst of the tunnels. I acknowledge you as God and I return praise and glory to you. Thank you for the pain I did not understand on time. The ones I had to mature to learn, to know what was happening. For the losses I could not interpret. And I had to come and understand true growth. Thank you, Lord. You have one more minute to just pour praise and offer him sweet smelling incense of praise. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Shaikapan de kredish to fede moti. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Listen. It is not every time God responds to your instructions with fantastic testimonies. Sometimes he allows you to go through the process of what it means to lack what you have just given, so he can give you mastery, bring you to a point where you can never lack it again. Do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? God can tell you, somebody you have ever prayed with, just lose your peace about this guy. God says he's not the one. How you wonder? The funny thing is that the guy will go and marry somebody else, and you are thinking you will see at some point that he will misbehave and say, this is why God sent me not to marry him. The person's marriage will be sweet. And you are still single. And God is not wrong. You see, it is babies to think that when God tells you to leave people or people leaves you, that they will crash. Sometimes they will even do better. And it looks like God has forsaken you. But listen, when the hand of God came upon you, like he outran the chariot of the king. You are waiting for the hand. I'm saying you can become a reproach they said you will become before you become what God wants you to become. Once you leave that point where you are trying to make sense to anybody and prove a point, you have entered. You have entered. A dimension where nobody can stop the blessings flowing. You have entered. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Lift your hands and just say, thank you, Lord. Some of you may be in the midst of what I've just described. Thank him. Regardless, thank him. Thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Can we just thank God for the words we have heard? Yes. For his word that is available for us in every season. Come on, just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. Pay attention to the body of wisdom God is giving to you and the things He's telling you to go and do after now. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying. I stretch my hands towards you today, and I decree and declare the blessings of the Lord follows you. His very hand will protect you. I cover you in the blood of Jesus, and I decree that your sun is not permitted to set until you finish, in the name of Jesus. Your story is not permitted to end until you sing the songs of victory. You will win on all sides, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke discouragement. I rebuke depression. I ask that the hand of God rest upon you. Be blessed, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.